I love it when a plan comes together. And I was planning on speaking on God's heart and call for River, God's plans for us. And then I'm doing this, Encountering Jesus readings with Maidenhead that we're doing, which fantastic, really, really wonderful reading series that we're doing. And this week's reading, part of it was Ephesians chapter 1. And I thought, woohoo! Ephesians chapter 1, one of my favourites. Let's preach off that. So if you've got a Bible, please turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to read from verses 1 to 14. And then we're going to look at it, see what God has for us in it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Amazing. You know, Ephesians is a wonderful book. It's probably the only letter, I think, that Paul doesn't have a lot of teaching about, you know, into a church, explaining them the errors of their ways. You know, he does a lot of that. You know, I sometimes think, what would he come and write to River about? What errors would he point out to us? But here he is writing to Ephesus, and There's no admonition. There's no telling off. It's just straight in to the wonderful, glorious plans that purposes that God has for us in Christ. And those of you who know me well will think, Colin, you're about to launch into your favourite subject of God's openness. And you're going to tell us that, although it talks about predestination and God's plans and purposes being worked out according to the counsel of his will, that actually it's not all set in stone. Aren't you? Yes, Colin. Well, I'm not, actually. But that's tempting. Sorry? Don't tease you. But it's true. It's true, because God's plans and purposes are all in Christ. And I like to think, Roger Forster likes to, he's told me that it's like Jesus Christ is a bus heading in a direction, a certain direction with a predestined arrival. And anybody who chooses to get on it can. So if you want to get to that predestination, if that predestination sounds good to you, then get on board. Is the message of Ephesians chapter 1. Not that God's already planned everything that's ever going to happen to you. But that's a side issue. I want to look at some of the things that we have in Christ. Because first of all, it says that we have every blessing. Every blessing. Come on. Yeah. You have every blessing. That sounds like the Holy Grail. There was much rejoicing. When I go to Nepal, they sing this song, Kusi Kusima Now, Kusi Kusima Now, something about how delightfully happy they are. And they always sing, Kusi Kusima Now, Kusi Kusima Now. And I get up and I tell them off. Come on! Every blessing is ours in Christ Jesus. Well, you're waking up a little bit. I'll give you time. It's still early. Every blessing. It's amazing. Every blessing. You know, the devil likes to tell us that God holds back on us. No way. The truth is that every blessing is available to us in Christ. Every blessing. Not forced on us. Not, we're not foie gras ducks that God opens up our mouths and force feeds it in. But it's available to us to explore, available to us to embrace, available to us to grab hold of. Every single blessing we have in Christ. Come on, I hope you feel blessed this morning. That is the first one, after all. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And that's not a new gospel. That's not the new good news. That's the old good news. Mind you, the old good news is the same as the new good news, so it shouldn't surprise us. You know, that's what he said back in the beginning to Abraham, wasn't it? Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour out so much blessing into your life, it can't be contained. It's going to spill out and basically bless everybody on earth. Fantastic news. And here we have the New Testament. Every blessing is ours. You see, the enemy comes to us like he came to Adam and Eve and said, you know what? You know, God told you not to eat of that tree because actually he doesn't want you to be like him. He's holding something back. Just because we haven't got it yet does not mean that God's holding it back. There's a maturing, a glory to glory that takes place as we grab hold of the blessings. God doesn't pour it in it all at once. We get spoiled. We'd be spoiled kids. He likes us to learn and to appreciate as we grow from glory to glory. But he's holding nothing back. It's all there. Come on. That's exciting. Well, I'm excited. And the reason that is the case is because God loves you with an undying love. You see, Jesus came in order that he might reveal the Father. And the Father's heart is to bless his kids. Jesus said things like, you know, the words I speak are not my own, they're my Father's. I only do what I see my Father doing. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Basically, he was the embodiment of the Father in human flesh. There's no higher revelation that we can have of God than that. But it's all about the Father, the good Father who loves to bless. So wherever he went around blessing. We see that, don't we? Healing the sick, delivering the demon-possessed, accepting the people that other people wouldn't accept. Brilliant. What a glorious, glorious way to live. And he shared the Father's heart in everything, which is to bless everybody that he came into contact with. In fact, the only people he didn't bless, this is a warning for us, the only people he didn't really bless were the ones that are holding out the blessings, keeping them. The ones that refuse to bless others because they didn't measure up. Come on. We don't do that, do we? Do we? No. We're generous, aren't we? Good. You've got to be generous. You see, if you're generous, then you can live in generosity. You reap what you sow. That's just the fact of life. The whole of life teaches us that. From going down to the gym where we sow energy to get energy back, which is crazy, to wanting to get more seed, we chuck some in the ground. That's crazy. To going fishing to chuck some overboard. That's crazy. You chuck it, you throw away what you want to get back. It's just the way it is. So we're blessed. Turn to the person next to you and say, do you know, your Father in heaven loves you dearly and gives you every blessing in Christ. Kerry. Your Father in heaven loves you dearly. He gives you every blessing in Christ. He's holding nothing back from you. Thank you, I received that blessing. That's the first one. I mean, if that was it, I'd go home happy now, wouldn't you? You know, that's a pretty good start, isn't it? We are blessed to be filled up, to be overflowing in order to bless others. But more than that, we're chosen. Woohoo! I don't know. I think God should have gone to Specsavers. Sorry about that. Only joking. Now, you see, we're chosen. Now, we know, because we're river folk, that we're not chosen for salvation. Because why? Why? Someone shout. Who does God choose? Everybody, come on. I'm only giving you one more warning to get awake. God chooses everybody. It says that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. That none should perish, that every man should be saved, every woman should be saved. That's God's heart. God chooses everybody. Full stop, period, the end. No argument. So what are we chosen for? We're chosen for jobs. It's like being elected. We're elected to positions in God's family, in God's house, in God's world, in God's order. Ooh. We're chosen in Christ. Amazing. You see, we're not just random collections of chemicals that came together, just a bunch of atoms that somehow decided to hang out in some cosmic accident. I mean, if we were, I mean, we would still be pretty amazing. But actually, we were woven together with purpose. The Bible tells us that God knit us together in our mother's wombs. That in the moments of our forming, from the first time when the sperm got together with the egg and started to divide, God started to knit something with purpose, with plans. He built in talents. He built in gifts. He built in predispositions to dance or to do whatever. You know, he loves to do, to build in stuff richly into us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, but with a purpose. You are chosen with a purpose. See, the Apostle Paul, we know, he knew he was chosen to be an apostle to the Gentiles. That was his purpose. He knew it. I'm chosen to reveal the God who is love. That's my purpose. I know that. Everywhere I go, I help people connect more deeply with the Father who loves them. That's my job. That's my purpose. What's your purpose? The parable of the talents says that we've all been given talents and gifts, and it's up to us how we steward them, how we look after them, how we multiply them. The question is, do you know what you were made for? Tap the person on the shoulder next to you and say, do you know what you're made for? Because to live in that is joy. To live in our purpose is joy. When we finally discover baking, and I was made to bake, whoa, fantastic. Or when I discover keeping the law in order, and when I think I'm pretty good at it, whoa, fantastic. But whatever it is we were designed for, we know we're good at, it's joy. When we're working and doing the things that are a blessing to those around us and bring a bit more glory to creation. You were chosen. Never let the enemy tell you that you're an accident. That you're a byproduct. That you were never meant to be there. That you're not really important. You were chosen. You were knit together with great care. For glory. So that's, you have special gifts, but we also have general gifts. Oh, there's a gift for you. Holy. Chosen that we should be holy. Anyone feeling good about that gift? You're all going to get quiet. It sounds a bit boring to you. No, good. I'm glad, Andrew. Just me and you. It sounds boring to everybody else. Holy. That's a gift to us. We're holy and blameless before him in love. We're holy. What that word means, it's a religious word, okay, and we can get all carried away with it, but it's this very simple meaning. It just means set apart. It just means put to one side for a special purpose. You've got a special purpose. Back to our calling. We have a special purpose in Christ, and that purpose generally is to reflect God's glory, to be salt on the earth, to be light to the world, yes. But we are all set aside for a holy, we are all holified for a special purpose. Set aside. That's a gift to us in Christ. God has a special purpose for every one of us here. Something that he's designed us for. A job that is precious to him. Whether it's to love our spouses, our families, our neighbours, our friends, our colleagues. To bring life. That where we go, no one else goes. The relationships we have, no one else has. They're precious to God. Let's make the most of them. Let's be holy. Let's be set aside to do his will in those places. See, I don't know about you guys, but we have cutlery that's set aside for special purposes. You know, if royal visitors come, they get the special cutlery. Okay, you're all royal, you're all right. But when it's just us at home in the family and we're bashing them up and we're throwing them around the room, we have the ordinary cutlery. But the holy cutlery, it comes out for special occasions. If we didn't set it aside, if it wasn't holy, then we wouldn't use it for special occasions. It'd be all beat up and scratched. The thing is, we can get beat up and scratched if we're not careful. Are we allowing ourselves to be set aside for holy purposes? Come on. The more we actually acknowledge that God wants to use us, the more we'll set ourselves apart from the world. Not throw ourselves in and get bashed and scratched and dirty, but we'll set ourselves apart to enable him to use us more for glory. Okay, enough of holy. You can never get enough of holy, can you? Blameless. This is a biggie, isn't it, guys? This is a gift. There's now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, the enemy wants to keep us small. And one of the ways he keeps us small is to get us to feel guilty about stuff. We've all done stuff that we're ashamed of or we feel guilty about, haven't we? Just admit it now. Come on. That's true. The thing is, if we dwell in that, if we allow the enemy to keep bringing it up, it just keeps us small. Because what happens when you feel shamed or when you feel guilty is you don't do anything. You just sit there and mope. That's what I do. Or you lash out at people because you're not feeling good about yourself. The gift of God in Christ Jesus is blamelessness. Isn't that fantastic? You are blameless. You see, there's lots to dance about. You just got to think about it. This is amazing. When God looks at us, he's not getting angry. He said, oh, look at you, you're cute. Look at you, you're wonderful. Look at you, you're full of glory. Look at you, you're amazing. Just the way I designed you. God wants us to grow up, to be strong and to be brave and to be courageous, but the devil wants to keep us small, burdened, guilt-ridden, shame-ridden. Jesus sets us free. So the gift of God in Jesus is freedom. Come on. We are forgiven, and more than that, we get to forgive other people. That's amazing, isn't it? Jesus says, whoever you forgive will be forgiven. Whoa! We've got to be forgiveness bringers. We've got to declare forgiveness over people. We've got to lift burdens from people, to take away the shame, to take away the guilt, to allow them to be free again, to grow again, to be expansive again, to be joy-filled again. Too many people walking around with shame and guilt, feeling small, irritable, lashing out. Let's heal them. Set them free. Come on. And we've got authority to do that because Jesus said we have. So let's make a fresh start today. Let no one leave this room carrying an ounce of shame or an ounce of guilt because Jesus has carried it all. And he says, if anyone confesses their sins, 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, if anyone confesses their sins, God is faithful and just to forgive their sins. Come on. End of. Brilliant news for us. No shame, no guilt. We can boldly enter his presence. We can boldly come to him and ask him for stuff because we are blameless. If only we got our heads around that, guys, because the truth is all of us carry around a little bit of shame, a little bit of guilt, and the enemy keeps digging at it for us. Let's ditch it today because it's a gift of God in Christ. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, do you know, Jesus forgives you and I forgive you. Jesus forgives you, and I forgive you. Thank you, Kerry. It's only us down the front here. We must smell. Okay, enough of that forgiveness, Lark. You're getting carried away. Next, we are adopted as sons, it says. Now, the trouble is, we get this completely mixed up, okay? We do not understand that word. The word, the Greek word is huiosthesis or something. It means son placing. It means being placed as a son. It means actually being chosen as the adopted heir, is what it means. Every Roman knew that because in the days of Augustus, he adopted Tiberius. Now, Tiberius was already living with him as his son. He'd married the man's mother. He wasn't his favourite son. He adopted a couple of other kids first, but they both died. So eventually, curmudgeonly, he says, okay, I'll adopt you, Tiberius. That was good news for Tiberius because that meant Tiberius got to be the next Caesar. It was the favoured child, the inheriting child, the one who would get all the titles, all the wealth, all the power. So when the Bible says we're adopted into Christ, by Christ, it means we get the titles of Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ, it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Joint heirs, co-heirs with Christ. You are a co-heir, joint heir with Jesus. That means everything that Jesus has inherited, you inherit. Come on, somebody get excited about that, please. This is incredible gifting. All the blessings are ours in Christ Jesus. Co-heirs with Christ. Wow. We're adopted heirs. You know, that means we can go around doing the things that Jesus did. That means we can go around walking and talking like Jesus did as a proper grown-up son, which sounds blasphemous to some because they think he was God. But he was God. But he walked around as a man and showed us how true men and women should walk. So I loved it. The last few weeks, I've been so blessed, guys. I went to Nepal a few weeks ago with a man who 3 years ago was riddled with arthritis. But I prayed with him and he was healed. And he was dancing, or he said he wanted to dance. His heart was so full in Nepal that he wanted to dance for joy. He said, here I am, 74, and I was riddled with arthritis, and now I'm free and healed, and here I am. If this gets any better, I'll dance like you. Fantastic. Wonderful news. Last week, I was praying for a guy, and it was a guy that a few years ago I prayed for, and he was delivered instantly of OCD. His hands were all cut. His face was haggard. I prayed for him. I didn't know what to do. I felt the Lord say he was going to rewire his brain. It was rewired. That is glorious, but that's just me walking as a son of God. Yesterday, I went to visit friends I hadn't seen for a while, and I saw a lovely young man who's now taller than me. But 20 years ago, Sadie and I prayed for our friends because they were struggling to conceive. They were weeping because they hadn't conceived for 8 years and trying. They thought they'd never have kids. We prayed for them. They conceived that week. They called their boy their miracle boy. Do you know they still haven't become Christians? Spit the dog. Honestly, what's God got to do? But there I was yesterday, enjoying the fact that they were talking about that. Enjoying the fact that we could bring it up. And she said to me, do you know what, Colin, I've become more spiritual recently? I said, fantastically. Wonderful. She's like, yeah, I'm not worried about the rules anymore. I said, brilliant, Lynn. Who's worried about the rules? God's not a rule maker. The rules were only given us to lead us to Christ. In Christ, we have freedom. Anyway, better go on. You know, this is our adoption, guys. This is, all of us are invited to walk in this kind of stuff. It's just glorious. We get to co-work with Christ, blessing people and bringing the kingdom. This is fantastic news. It's almost good enough to make you dance. We're redeemed. Okay, that word redemption just means buying out of slavery. It just means someone's paid the price to bring us out of a bondage, out of slavery, out of a place where someone owns us, controls us, to a place of freedom. So we are now gloriously free. Come on. We are free in Christ. And freedom is really important. I want to quickly get on now. I'll talk about that in a second. We're also sealed with the Holy Spirit. Everyone who becomes a Christian, obviously, God comes and lives with us. We're part of the new creation. We're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Guarantee, it says. We just read that in Ephesians chapter 1, Dave, if you're looking puzzled. You know, this is what God has promised us. He comes to live with us because he always wants to live with us. And it's a seal guaranteeing us inheriting everything. So we're spirit-filled people, God-filled people. But I want to come on. These are the things we have in Christ. I want to come on to what does that mean for us as River? Because, you know, as River, we get our inspiration from that verse in Ezekiel, wherever the river flows, everything will live. Wherever you and I go, everything will live. Because we carry the life of Jesus with us. Because we carry the joy, the hope, the peace, the healing. Wherever we go, we bring the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Because the kingdom of God is within us. Like treasure in a jar of clay. Some of us look more jarry than others. And God, this is what God wants us to do. Number one, he wants us to declare his goodness. Why is that the case? Because when we know that God is good, what happens? Joy comes. Peace comes. We stop worrying. We stop being anxious. Jesus said, don't be anxious. Don't worry. God's got it covered. The moment we really know that God is good and that he's watching over us, I can breathe. You see that with babies. The moment they're picked up by their mother, I can breathe. That's like it for us. The moment we really know we're children of God, let's breathe. We can live now. We can live expansively because we know that God is good. You see, God's been revealing his goodness. We sang about it earlier in this meeting. Kerry chose a great song there. You're good. You're good. You're a good, good father. He's given us a special revelation of that. And God's willingness as a father to bless every man, woman, and child. So we're still growing in this, guys. We still need to grow in it. I recommend this book to you, God is Good by Bill Johnson. It's a reminder, yes, because you already know that God is good, but actually we leak. We need to keep filling ourselves up with the truth. This book is fantastic for filling us up with the truth of God's goodness. So read it. He's got a couple of copies out there for sale at the bookshop, so only the first two will get them. So you're going to have to be really, get your sprinting shoes on, your sharp elbows out. But we've got to declare God's goodness. The world needs to know it. We've got to bring freedom. You know, freedom is at the heart of God. That's why there are two trees in the garden. Freedom is fundamental. Freedom, it's all about. God wants grown-up children, not robots. He doesn't want to plan and predestine everything. He wants you to surprise him. Now, there's a novelty. When you get up in the morning, think, how can I surprise Jesus today? Didn't see that one coming, did you, Lord? Well, maybe. Let's not get carried away. He's pretty quick. But he did give us freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from religion, freedom from guilt and shame. We've just learned about that. Freedom to adventure with Jesus. Because when we know that God is good, and where the Spirit is, there is freedom. You know, we get to adventure with him. We don't wait to be told what to do. We go out as a son of God, as a friend of God, and do the things he asked us to do. We adventure. So we need, God is calling us to live freely in River Church, to adventure for him and with him in life. We're going to do that? Yes? Well, there's three of us. Well, that's enough for a revival. To bring his presence and power. You know, I've just talked about some of the ways that I've been blessed in the last few weeks, seeing people that that's happened to through me, for goodness sake. And if it can come through me, it can come through anybody. Hallelujah. Because we're all wonderful vessels, remember, adopted sons who inherit everything. So that's you. You grab hold of that today. Grab hold of the fact that you're adopted. Bring his presence and power with you. Let consciously know that you carry the presence of God with you wherever you go. So when you walk into a room, that room changes because you bring Jesus with you. You're the dwelling place of God by the Spirit, the Bible says. When God turns up, things happen. That means you can't turn up without stuff happening. That's exciting. Really exciting. So we've got to bring his presence and power. He's calling us. That's part of our DNA. That's what God wants us to do. We started on that journey, guys. We have a long way to grow in it. A long way. Let's not get just accustomed to praying for people and hearing your story of healing. Let's all push into that. Let's all push into salvation. Let's all push into seeing people delivered. Let's all push into seeing people have their prayers answered. Let's, every one of us. So the stage is full of us all wanting to get up to share wonderful stories. You know, as River too, we call everyone to destiny. We know that this is not about a priest and a laity. This is not about a few chosen ones and the rest ordinary people. What we know is that the Bible says that we are a body of people. We all do a little bit. And as each part does its little bit, we grow up in love into the fullness that is Christ, Ephesians chapter 4. Every one of us is called. Every person is called to ministry in this church. Every man, woman, and child. There is no limit. We are all same. We're all the same in Christ Jesus. There is no difference. That's precious, guys. Not every church, that's true. My daughter's been going to see you at Durham this past couple of, in the past year now. God, time flies. And she said, that tells me I'm running out of time. But, you know, she wrestles with people that won't allow women to lead it there. You know, so we need to keep pioneering in that as a church, calling everyone to their destiny, because we are all co-heirs with Christ, not just some of us. Live joyfully now. The gospel is not something that happens when we die. We're not waiting to be raptured, to be taken up to some special place. We are called to live joyfully, free, powerfully, free, happily, free, now. Grace, blessed lives, now. This good news is for this life. We dare not keep it to ourselves. Amen? Come on. Love everyone. You know, we've got to give these things away, guys. This is what we're called to. Do you recognize that? Does that look like you? I hope so. Turn to the person next to you and say, that looks like you. That looks like you, Kerry. But I've reordered it a little bit there. We've got golden values. I've added a couple. I've added an E and an N. But you'll see why in a sec. But because that's important for me, that it's everyone, and it's for now. Really important for us. Golden values. If we live these things out, we'll become the people that we just described. They're golden. I love that. Just 1 minute, guys. Because listen to this. I looked up golden. This describes you and me, okay? In my thesaurus. Beautiful. Advantageous. Auspicious. Best. Blissful. Bright. Brilliant. Delightful. Excellent. Favorable. Flourishing. Glorious. Happy. Joyful. Joyous. Opportune. Precious. Promising. Propitious. Prosperous. Resplendent. Rich. Rosy. Shining. Successful. And valuable. How's that sound? These are all us in Christ. We get to inherit the whole shooting match in Jesus. Who wouldn't want that? Okay, I'm going to finish. Let's close our eyes because, you know, I want a serious moment for us to do business with God, the God who loves us, the God who is here. Everybody close their eyes, please. Because what I said earlier on, that some of us are feeling shameful and guilty and we're kept small. And today, if you carry an ounce of shame or an ounce of guilt, it's going to rob you of life. God wants to remove it. If you carry any shame or guilt now, let it go. Let it go. You are forgiven. I forgive you. Christ forgives you. Confess it. You can do it silently. You don't have to tell someone. If you want to tell someone, brilliant, but you don't have to. Confess it to your Father and walk out of this place completely free. Knowing that you are set apart for glory. You're golden. You're auspicious, beautiful, advantageous, prosperous. Beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and transform us from glory to glory again. Forgive us where we've allowed the enemy to keep us small and help us to reach heavenwards for the prize that you've called us in Christ. To forget what's in the past and to press on. To take hold of all that you have for us at the every blessing. That we might be golden. That we might reflect your life and love to this world. That's your call on River. That's your call on all of us individually. Help us to live it out, Lord God, in power. With hope. With perseverance and with compassion. Thank you for lifting burdens right now of wearied hearts, of hearts that have been kept small. Thank you, Jesus, for predestining us for blamelessness and holiness and redemption and adoption and blessedness. Thank you. Amen. And as we finish, guys, you may want to think about those golden values and think which ones are important to you, which one is the most important. You may want to tell your neighbour why you think that one's important to you. Or you may want to grow in one and ask your neighbour to pray for you. But let's not rush out to go do whatever we've got to do next. Take a moment to be with God, to be with your neighbour, just to reflect on God's love for you.
Thank you, Colin. Wasn't that encouraging? You feel encouraged? It's really good to be reminded of these things, isn't it? Really good to have our spirits stirred to remember all that we have in Christ.